Everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Welcome to another week, and boy, do we have a lot of interesting things that we're going to talk about as we look back on the week that was here on the show and talk about things that are coming up this week in Washington and what really sends the ripples, the waves across the U.S. And I think that one of the bigger things that was discussed last week was the NSA and bulk collection. Now, you know, here's the deal. General Keith Alexander, who is the head of the NSA, is stepping away. And he probably wishes, in fact, he's voiced this, that he never came across anyone named Ed Snowden. Because Ed Snowden, for better or worse, whether you think he's a traitor or whether you think he's a hero, blew the lid off of, let's face it, what was going on in the NSA. Even though people can say, yeah, we knew that was happening. We always make jokes about we're being spied on or they're coming through our stuff. I mean, you've got to talk about some liberties that were definitely trampled on. So now the NSA and bulk collection, the metadata collection, is really what's at issue here. And the push is to dump all of this. The president has been heavily talking about this, but executive order won't cut it. It's not going to work with just an executive order because he can't do that. It has to be legislation. So in watching what's happening and saying, well, now the phone companies, that's one of the proposed pieces of legislation. Well, the phone companies can hang on to all of the records and then only when they're subpoenaed specifically for a case that absolutely is drawn on a terrorist threat, then that way we'll just be going through a few. We'll just be cherry-picking it versus having massive amounts of it exposed and have the NSA have the access to it. But, you know, it's like you're a day late and a dollar short. Remember that old expression my great-grandmother used to say? It's just so true on this. The NSA cannot get... I don't think the NSA is really capable of getting back the public's trust, and that's what's at issue here. The three dreaded letters. I mean, once was all out there, thanks to Snowden, without a doubt, when you hear the NSA, I don't care how much you know about the situation or the specifics of it, or if you're like Izzy in Missouri, who that lady's on top of it all, you know, and she'll dig around and she'll specifically find the information that she wants, or if you're just mildly interested, I mean, everybody is disgusted by what's happened. And I don't believe there is a way, I just don't believe there's a way to redeem the NSA. I mean, yeah, move ahead, make some laws that should have been there a long time ago, to protect people that they have they can relatively expect that not everything is pawed over and exposed, and especially with younger people, which is why Rand Paul is having some success in wanting to campaign for president, because anybody who falls into the libertarian category and just in general thinks the Constitution and civil liberties, they like a lot of what Paul is saying. And you have to ask yourself, how much is too much? It's like the old joke about the whole Big Brother. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, every once in a while you would hear that, oh, Big Brother is watching. And we would joke. People would joke about it. But it's not a joke. The playbook is really out. And I think you can't rip up the playbook and expect us to think, oh, this is okay. I mean, we trust what the NSA is doing. No. They are mired in a public relations nightmare, and the best thing they can do is just to not even talk about it. I mean, that's it. It's like Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter said he doesn't trust email, but he's all in with texting. But, of course, texts are saved, and I'm sure he's heard of the cloud. So if somebody wanted to get Jimmy Carter's text, they could do that. But Carter's grandson, Jason, who's campaigning, by the way, to be the Democratic candidate for governor in Georgia, tweeted a picture of Jimmy Carter, his first text promoting his Tuesday night appearance on the Colbert Show. and declared his granddad had gone from ex-president to Tex-president. You gotta love that. That's kind of clever, right? So, of course, the 39th president is promoting a new book, A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power. And on Sunday, Carter said in an interview, and this is what really blew this up, on Meet the Press, I think he was on, that he only writes or types letters to foreign leaders because he wants to avoid having his emails monitored by the NSA. And General Keith Alexander, the outgoing, as I mentioned, director of the NSA, told Fox News that they don't monitor Carter's emails or any other officials. Can we trust that information? But you have to love it. You have to love it that an ex-president is saying, yeah, if I want to get in touch with a foreign leader, nah, I'm not, there's no texting or emailing going on. None of that's happening. I'm not sending any kind of an email. Forget it. What am I doing? I am writing a letter. I'm handwriting a letter to whoever it might be, because I don't want it to be pawed over. That really, really tells you something. And hey, last week, another big story, I think, that broke, and this has to do with foreign relations, really. So fewer Americans think the United States president has a strong image on the world stage, right? They think that Obama is he a strong and decisive leader or not? They did a survey. In fact, Fox News did a survey, and I know you could say, well, Fox News, what do you think they're, which way do you think that's going to slant? But they found, and this isn't all the polls, this is coming up, some 59% say the U.S. is the world's most dominant power, in contrast to 85% who said that in 2002. That's a big jump from 85 to 59. Almost 52% think the U.S. is less powerful than when Obama came into office. 22% of Democrats agree, 78% of Republicans, well, that's not a surprise. And then the number of Americans who say the U.S. is safer, this is a key question, than before the 9/11 terrorist attacks has dropped to 49%. Most people, even despite all the conversations we've had about Malaysia Air and the missing 777, feel air travel is safer. At 59%. Most people feel it's safer at 59%. So that's interesting, isn't it? It drops. We're not safer overall to 49%, but air travel is safer. I guess they're buying the whole TSA thing is what I'm thinking, because I don't know that I agree with the air travel thing. We just haven't seen anything. Well, I hope that that's the case. How about this? 37% approve of Obama's approach to foreign policy, better than the 33% earlier in March. But 53% of the people that were asked disapprove. And this, of course, goes directly, I think, to the chess match between Putin and Barack Obama. 49% think Putin would win, compared to 31% for Obama. Wow, that certainly says something. All right, stick with us. Much more to come. We're going to punt it to the other side here in this hour of America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
You ready for this? The Burger King baby. How about this? Catherine Deferill has met the woman who abandoned her 27 years ago in a Pennsylvania Burger King restaurant. So she became the Burger King baby. And she wants to know who her mother was. They got together. It was the first time the two had contact since the mother, who's been in the Lehigh Valley, left Catherine Deferill at the Allentown restaurant on September 15th, 1986. Deferill said, "I'm excited. I have literally not wiped the smile off my face. I never in a million years thought I'd find her. It's definitely the best scenario possible. She's very normal. She's very sweet." Wow. She confirmed that she finally met her. A lot of people wanted to know the story because, of course, this was posted all over the place on Facebook. She went to Facebook looking for her birth mother, and she was blitzed by requests since then. Deferill's mother doesn't want to be identified, but, you know, she went to an attorney to figure out how to handle the situation, and they got together. They, you know, she publicly launched this search. They arranged a meeting. An attorney arranged the meeting between the mother and the daughter at his office. And she showed up with her youngest of three sons, a seven-month-old, and her adoptive mother. Her birth mother showed up with her husband, and they said it was really pure shock. And but she said it was great. For hours they talked. They had questions. Why did, you know, she wanted to know why was she left? What is her heritage, health problems, things she should know about? She said it was dramatic, it was emotional. But she said that her mother explained to her, and isn't this interesting because people jump to conclusions, that she became pregnant when she was raped in another country by a stranger during a family vacation when she was 16. She was ashamed and embarrassed, so she hid the fact that she was pregnant. And she said she gave birth. It's just crazy. She gave birth to her in her bedroom at 17 without her parents knowing about it, and drove to Burger King to drop off the baby, knowing it would be crowded and someone would find the baby. I mean, this is, you know, just born, basically. And that was it. And she said, just because of what happened and because rape victims blame themselves and all that other stuff, that's what she felt like she had to do. How about that? And they say that, you know, maybe they'll be able to keep in touch. And she was very happy she was able to ask her the questions and that kind of thing. And she's not going to press any charges against her. The statute of limitations has run out anyway because she abandoned her. But, you know, they agreed to see each other again. 27 years went by. Wow. I mean, what does that say? 27 years. And the fact that she was so afraid to say anything to anyone, but then left her there. Wow. Imagine that conversation. There's a lot of numbers in that one. And I think the biggest one is the one that I just said. That's a very long time. And obviously, she had a lot of love for her adoptive mother, and it was like a real mother to her, so she brought her along with her, you know, for moral support, and it worked out. And that's a good thing it worked out, because sometimes I've heard the opposite, where those stories don't always turn out as well. But in this case, it did. We mentioned this the other day, but just briefly in passing, maybe because we talked about it so much leading up to it, but it's worth bringing it up here because of the numbers. You know, there was a lot of commotion over what was going to happen with Bin Laden's son-in-law, and Bin Laden's son-in-law was convicted at a New York City terror trial, and even having the trial, I think, was really downplayed because of thoughts of what that could mean for the courthouse. So the voice of the Al-Qaeda propaganda videotapes after September 11th attacks, that you could hear that in the courtroom. And what happened ultimately for the son-in-law was the verdict came about 6 hours after deliberating over 2 days in the case of the Kuwaiti imam, who is known as Abu Ghaith, the highest-ranking al-Qaeda figure to face trial on our soil since the attacks. As the verdict was read, Abu Ghaith remained pretty composed, as he had been throughout the trial. And just before he was let out of the courtroom, he turned toward a spectator, a longtime friend from Kuwait, and just smiled. Boy, doesn't that just make you sick? So in a statement, the U.S. attorney said he hoped the verdict brought some measure of comfort to the victims of Al-Qaeda. And he said he was more than just Osama bin Laden's propaganda minister, that within hours after the devastating attacks, Abu Ghaith was using his position in Al-Qaeda's hierarchy to persuade others to pledge themselves to the group in the cause of murdering more Americans. So finally, there, and maybe there is, maybe this does something for the people who lost family on September 11th. And he testified during the 3-week trial that he answered bin Laden's request in the hours after the attacks to speak on the circulated videos used to recruit new followers willing to go on suicide missions, like the 19 who hijacked the 4 planes back in 2001. So that's why they played those tapes, because he was the voice. And he said, you know, the storm of airplanes won't stop, and that tape was played for the jury. So they're pretty damning evidence. Sentencing is set for September 8th. The charges: conspiracy to kill Americans, conspiring to provide support to Al-Qaeda, and providing support to Al-Qaeda, carrying a potential penalty of life in prison, which is most likely the way that this thing is going to go. He was captured in Jordan last year, brought to New York, and participated in the trial. He listened to testimony and all that kind of stuff, so he didn't scream things out like Allah Akbar and, you know, that kind of stuff. He just was a little smug and went through the rigmarole of the trial, like I guess like anyone else other than that, and saying something to the friend and whatever. But finally, after all these years, there is a little bit of comeuppance, if you will, for whatever peace of mind that can add to anyone. And I'm not really sure it gives you any great peace of mind, but it is what should have happened, I think. And let's see what the sentence is, but I don't believe they're going to quibble on that. That's probably going to be life. All right, this would freak me out. I'm not a big fan of fire ants anyway, and I'm sure many of you are not fans of fire ants either. If you ever step on an ant hill, do you ever get bitten by any ants? Luckily for me, that hasn't happened too much to me, but it's happened to people around me, so I've seen it. And here's the deal. The raspberry crazy ants, they're calling them, are destructive and pretty mobile. And they're kind of the angry cousins to the fire ants. And they say they're weeks away from descending on Houston. Since 2008, the ants, which they believe came to Texas from South America aboard a cargo ship in the 30s, have expanded. They've exploded their presence to 27 counties from just 8. Once they're in a house, this is what they do. They zero in on electrical systems. They chew through insulation. They cause short circuits and havoc. And they say that people say, exterminators say, with these raspberry ants, they've been in houses where every time you took a step, you'd be stepping on thousands of ants every time you moved. Oh, that's just awful. It's a reddish-brown ant, and that's why they call it the raspberry ant. Oh, no thank you. I guess there's other ant swarms in 20 counties in Florida, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Boy, I hope it doesn't make it to my neck of the woods. Please, please, no. Thanks for listening to This Hour of America Tonight.
Because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Sugar Boy called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Joining us now is Jonathan Bell. He's a federal employment attorney, and we're going to talk about something that we've been talking about here really the last week. We did a ton on marijuana and what's happening with the legalization, the push to legalize marijuana nationwide. It's interesting because while that happens, there are some other problems that have now stemmed from that, including federal workers and the fact that, you could say they're banned from what we would call high times. Jonathan, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
All right, so tell us about that. Tell us about the federal conflict here as we watch a weed roll through these different processes of possibly being legalized, who knows how long, across the board in the United States. What's the big problem?
Well, my specialty, as you probably know, is representing federal employees. And the situation really is, how is the government going to be able to deal with the federal employees who oftentimes require a security clearance where they're regularly tested for marijuana, and to the extent that they either live or visit states where it's now legalized, you know, how are they going to deal with that situation?
Yeah, and so actually, there's guidelines, and they're going to have to, I mean, obviously, you're right. What a strange thing. It's perfect to have a lawyer on to talk about this because, it's like I said, there's all these ancillary things that are happening as we see the big push to legalize to legalize marijuana, like we've seen in Colorado. What, for example, happens if somebody, I was talking about this the other night, what's really popular is these vacations in Colorado. What happens if I work for the federal government and I take a vacation in Colorado and I want to smoke some pot? I want to go to one of the stores. Would I be in trouble?
Well, there should be a distinction between people who have a security clearance and not. A lot of federal employee positions don't require a security clearance, and in that situation, you're probably fine, although I wouldn't go to the workplace and acknowledge or admit that you did. In situations involving a security clearance, I mean, you actually do have to be very upfront. And also, you know, there's certain positions you're subject to random drug testing. But in the SF-86, which is a standard form that the government makes all security clearance employees fill out, there's questions about drug use, marijuana use specifically, and you have to answer it honestly. And this is a very interesting subject, because there are people who are not yet employed by the government who might live in these some of these states, and while there smoke marijuana and then decide that they want to apply for the government and have to fill these forms out. I'm wondering how, it's too early to tell, I'm wondering how the government is going to react to that.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen, especially with you being in employment law, as we see this roll out, you're going to have more cases of this. I think this is going to really crop up, because if you go back and look, I've got family members that have that security clearance, and if you look at the Controlled Substances Act, it specifically says that. I mean, you go back to what, the 80s and Reagan, and that mandate, you know, this spells it out, the drug-free workplace. And specifically, employees refraining from the use of illegal drugs. So the law would butt its, you know, the one law would butt its head against whatever the current law could be. And I would imagine in Colorado, they're probably, you think they're talking about this?
I think they are. I mean, if federal employees are wise and appropriately cautious, and they understand that their job may be on the line, I mean, I think for right now they should abstain until there's some decisions, there's some case law, so we know which side of the fence we're going to fall on here. You know, as a lawyer being involved heavily with security clearance and federal employees, I really don't know which way it's going to turn out. It's going to be interesting to watch it develop.
Yeah, I think so, too. With security clearances, what seems to crop up the most that gets people into trouble or things they're concerned about?
A lot of the cases I deal with, and sometimes it's drug use, not as much though. A lot of times it's financial ability, if they're overstressed financially, if they're in some type of debt, if they have relationships with foreign nationals. I mean, you can imagine a lot of people with clearances could speak a number of languages, so they have family in other countries, and they look into their regular contact with those family members and things of that nature.
Yeah, overstressed financially, I can imagine that. What about, you know, how many people work for the IRS? Is that a no-no? I mean, if all of a sudden you're in massive debt, could that lead to somebody losing their job?
Quite often it does, and sometimes, and the sad part is oftentimes beyond the person's control. Maybe they're divorced. Maybe it was a two-income family and their spouse lost their job through no fault of their own. But the way that the government looks at it is that it's not a right, it's a privilege. And if you're potentially subject to any type of extortion, then you're a threat to the United States and you should not have a security clearance.
Yeah, and talking about the security clearances, too, there's certain levels of security clearance. Is there, if you're at the lower rung, is it the same as being at the top? It doesn't matter. A security clearance is a security clearance when you're working on these cases?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the way that it works out, it doesn't matter the different levels of the clearance. They don't differentiate. Either you're capable of holding a clearance or not. So even though there are certain levels, that only goes to the materials that the person is able to view or handle. But when it comes to determining if the person should be entitled to a security clearance, it's really a yes or no.
Wow. So it's just that simple. I mean, they just, they're factors that decide. Does if you've got a case, do the cases take a long time? I mean, I would imagine you've got to go through all kind of tenets of the law and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, what happens is you fill out the SF-86 initially. What's really interesting is once you fill out that SF-86, oftentimes they'll give you something called an interim clearance because they're backed up. And then you have some individual working there for maybe a year and a half, and performing well. And then by the time they take a look at the SF-86, they realize that this person shouldn't have had a clearance to begin with. So then they issue them a statement of reasons, which is like allegations setting forth why they should lose or why they're not going to be approved for their clearance. At that time, they do have due process rights. They put in a response to the allegation, both in writing and orally. A judge gets assigned to the Doha, Department of Hearings and Appeals, and then the judge makes a decision as to whether or not you're entitled to the clearance. So it's a complicated process, but there is some due process rights. But again, the interesting thing is sometimes it takes some time to get these things adjudicated.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking a lot about Ed Snowden, and of course the questions you get on the talk show are, well, how does this guy get clearance? And then you deal with being contracted out, and as you said, the whole idea of the interim clearance, do you think they're going to be tougher on that, even though they've got the backup because of, for example, at the NSA, what happened with Snowden?
I think they are. I think they're going to not only be tougher, but I think that they're going to try to push these things a little bit quicker through the system. And you got to understand too. No one really knows the future actions of an individual. So they do the best they can. But you know, these security clearance investigations and issues, it's not a crystal ball. I mean, there are plenty of good people who get denied security clearances, and there are people out there that get security clearances because they don't have anything in their background who probably might not have the best intentions.
Yeah. As a federal employment attorney, Jonathan, and dealing with discrimination, retaliation, is retaliation big? Because that's big in the workplace in general. Are you seeing that too?
Yeah, we see a lot of that. I deal a lot with EEO cases for discrimination, or even people sticking up for other people who filed discrimination cases. And retaliation in the federal employee system, just like the private sector system, which we do as well, is rampant. I mean, it's out there. The crazy thing is that, you know, the government should be leading by example, but unfortunately that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, there you go. So retaliation, we talked about with clearances being financially stressed and how that could lead to extortion, so there's problems there. But what about people who unfairly get bounced? You're looking at that. What about back pay? What about getting extra money for what we would call emotional loss? Do you see that as well?
Not really in the security clearance form. We do see it with respect to discrimination cases. If someone was terminated through discrimination based on race, age, religion, gender, disability, or retaliation for EEO activity, you are entitled to back pay, you are entitled to pain and suffering, you are entitled to your attorney's fees, you're entitled to your position back. I've seen managers be disciplined because of that. Sometimes there has to be postings in the workplace if the discrimination occurred here. So there's different types of damages for different types of claims. For security clearance issues, there's some difference if you're dealing with a contractor versus a federal employee with respect to back pay. But really, in those situations, when someone's really defending themselves and trying to get their security clearance back or cleared, I mean, really what they want is the security clearance so they could be gainfully employed. If the security clearance is a requirement for the position and you lose the security clearance, you lose your job.
Yeah, that's pretty cut and dry. I don't think you can do much with that. Jonathan, it was great that we were able to also scatter shoot with you. We started off talking about marijuana and the legalization, and I'm sure that's going to open the floodgates, especially when it comes to federal employees and security clearances. Pretty interesting stuff. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Great. Thanks for having me.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair?
Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
That's next.
Bingo!
I love that, by the way. Hey, Nathan, how you doing?
So good.
You're going to love this first one. You ready for this?
Great, hit me.
Researchers at Vanderbilt University have created a thinking cap that electronically stimulates the brain to increase its ability to learn from mistakes. So here's the deal. To examine what effect this mistake response has on our behavior, two psychologists actually put it together. It administers a low-level current to the brain to simulate the spike. They hypothesize that the spike plays a role in learning, allowing the brain to learn from the mistakes. So they set out to test what is the actual function of the brain waves, but they came up with something a little better. They say when humans make a mistake, They have an instinctive oops reaction in the brain. So it's a spike of a negative volt in the medial front cortex. And it's something that's being observed by scientists, and they're trying to figure out ways that they can solve that, something they could do to change that. What do you think? Is it fruits and nuts, shredded, or bingo?
Well, I worked in that kind of industry when I first went to school, and I think it's kind of a bingo because that's a really... It's really interesting stuff. The medial front cortex, is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean there were several different ways of learning how to learn stuff. Like we would put it in a whole map system. We would learn it by the directions. Like here we are right now, and what's next? And then there was this whole like procedural kind of memory thing going on. But yeah, so I definitely believe there's an oops part of it. But I mean, what is it talking about? The next step is what's the interesting part about it too?
Right, that they could take the current and do the opposite, create smaller spikes, and the effect of it, you know, would they be able to transfer it to other tasks, and how long would it last? I'm going to agree with you, actually, and you, since you kind of worked in the field, you certainly know more about it than me from seeing it hands-on. I would say, yeah, bingo. If they can do, I think any work you can do with the brain that helps in some way is a good thing, especially with all the things that we're seeing with, like, Alzheimer's and... I mean, let's face it, I mean, the brain, it's our most precious cargo, and it's the thing that so often takes the life out of people because of things that we don't know. So the more we know about the brain, the better, however it goes. It's just that much better to know more about the brain. All right, here's something completely different. I don't know if you're a car guy or not, Nathan, but... The Shelby Mustang GT500 is up for auction, one of them. It's a meticulously maintained car, they say. It hasn't been driven since 1973. Includes almost all its original parts. And it is a one-of-a-kind thing. It's only got 8,500 miles. It's in original condition. It's a very rare thing. It belonged to a guy named Larry Brown, who died last year. He left behind the car, no heirs, only a house filled with personal items, and a garage with several cars, including the Shelby Mustang, all of which go up for auction next month. So, saying that it's 1968, how rare it is, and for the big bucks it could go for, again, the guy had no heirs, is this fruits and nuts, shredded, or bingo? Could go for $100,000.
It as well. It should.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of. I don't want to say bingo again, and it's really not that nutty. But I think I'm gonna have to say bingo again. Kind of, you know.
Yeah, because why not? Because so, no air.
It's a pretty machine. So do it.
It is pretty. So you're a car guy.
Well, kind enough of? To know that a Shelby. You don't frown on that guy.
No, it's a beautiful car. Anybody who wants to look it up, just type it in whatever search engine, and I'm sure it'll pop up. It's interesting because Brown bought the car for just over $5,000. Isn't that interesting?
Oh.
Now, if he had sold it before he died, he would have gotten all that cash, but it was his baby. He didn't want to sell it. That's why he kept it all those years, and he didn't have anyone to leave it to. It is a gorgeous, I have to say, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous car. $100,000. Maybe more, probably more than that. All right, how about this one? Boy, one statistic when we talk about the economy that I don't understand that we rarely see is consumer spending. You know, they talk about consumer spending, but it doesn't get rolled into the GDP, really. And then food prices. Food prices, Nathan, are up 19%. I mean, that's almost 20% in 2014. We're only 3 months into the year. Of course, weather is to blame because some of the crops and all of that. But that is staggering when you think about it. We're not going to be able to afford to eat. We're all going to be eating ramen noodles anyway. 20%, I think, I'm going to jump out and I'm going to say shredded. But what do you say, fruits and nuts, shredded, or bingo?
I'm not going to, I don't want to say shredded because it is a big deal, but it is wicked crazy. So I'm going with fruits and nuts. I mean, like, God, put some stuff in your ground in your backyard. Find some ground. Make it healthy. And, you know, do that stuff yourself.
I agree with you. I agree with you. If anything, this is a wake-up call. So get your rear end in your backyard. It's easy to, I'm not saying it's easy to do it. Not like I have a green thumb or I know a lot about growing vegetables. But trust me, I am learning. They even have these community gardens. It's a good time to jump on that. Because that's what you're paying for, limes. I said this the other night, limes for a carton of limes, it was from $14 up to $70. So when you get the Mexican beers, there's no way getting limes on top of it. They're charging people for it. So that's just insanity.
Avocados, man, those are dangerous.
Boy, and I love avocados, and they're so good for you. I mean, they are. It's one of the things they say you should have some avocado, at least a couple of them a month. I've heard that on so many different shows. And even here on GCN, a lot of the people talk about the food that you should eat. And, of course, it is all about growing, learning to grow for sure because of what's happened with our soil. I think we all know that. That's not. It's not even political. It just is. It is what it is. There's no question about that. All right, how about this? Mick Jagger's girlfriend, Loren Scott, he was very distraught. Nobody understood what happened, but she committed suicide. She was a famous designer, really pulled herself up from her bootstraps by herself. She was from a Mormon family, created her own little niche in the fashion industry. Some people say she was in debt up to $6 million. But yet when she died, she left everything to Mick Jagger, her boyfriend, longtime boyfriend since the early 2000, like three, I think they got together. It's something like $9 million. So Mick Jagger said a final goodbye to his girlfriend before she was laid to rest in the Hollywood Cemetery on Tuesday. His daughters were there and all that kind of stuff. The medical examiner concluded that she killed herself by hanging. She was just 49 years old. So fruits and nuts, shredded, or bingo. Obviously, this is a sensitive story, but I'm talking about leaving the money. It's very hard to kind of grapple with that since supposedly she was in $6 million debt, but her estate's worth well over $9
million. That's complex.
It is.
I mean, I would say shred it, but, you know, if there was a nicer word for shred it.
I know. I agree with you. That's a tough one. I would say shred it if there was a better way to say that. I think it's very sad what happened here. It's always sad when you don't know. There was no note, supposedly, any of that. And it just makes you wonder, gosh, was she just... People, if you're carrying around something, tell somebody. And that's what I think happened here. She was carrying around something and didn't tell anyone. I don't know that for sure, but it's so, so tragic. All right. Thank you very much, Nathan Reeder, and thank you for listening to this Hour of America tonight.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.